out of turn, so I'm trying to keep the control set so that that doesn't happen. I have left unmute as available for the two of you. Honestly, unless you need to mute, you could go ahead and just unmute yourselves. And then I can, well, it's not a big deal. We don't have anybody else in the hearing room at this point, so I'm not going to worry about it. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call to order at this point. This is has been billed as a public hearing on a request for right-of-way vacation. The right-of-way seeking to be vacated is described in pre-hearing submissions as the air rights over a portion of South 15th Street, lying between South Port E and South Boston Avenue, and a westerly portion of South Boston Avenue and South 15th Street, as that area is precisely, I hope, legally and otherwise described and depicted in the city's preliminary report that was received in the hearing examiner's office on March 11th, 2022, as a proposed exhibit to today's hearing. The requested vacation is billed as being intended to facilitate design variability on a residential building project. I will note today is March 24th, 2022. We are convening on the record here just after 9 o'clock a.m., which is the date and time noticed for the hearing in this matter. My name is Jeff Capel. I'm the city's hearing examiner, and I'll be presiding over the hearing today. Kind of already taken appearances. We have Troy Stevens here from the city and Luke Kimberline here for the petitioner, which is listed in the pre-hearing submissions as Boston Avenue Owner LLC, Washington Woman Liability Company. I am presuming, Mr. Kimberline, that you have authority from the limited liability company petitioner to act on its behalf today. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I will note too that we are recording both video and audio for the proceedings today, and that's something that we do so that a record is preserved. I use it to go back and make sure I got things right, and it's also used in case there are appeals of the city council's decision later on. I will note that I am not the decision maker in this matter or any street vacation matter. The state of Washington street vacations are considered to be a legislative action, and I am not the city's legislative body, but I am their appointed hearing officer, and I have the authority from the city council to conduct the required public hearing in street vacations and make written findings and a recommendation to the city council, which they use in informing themselves on the way to making that legislative decision, whether to approve or reject the requested street vacation. So, let me just describe how we're going to proceed today. The city's Department of Public Works and Property Services Division has prepared a preliminary report that I already regarding this petition, and I have reviewed that petition prior to the hearing today. The city makes the first presentation based in large part on its written submissions, typically, and offers any additional evidence or testimony that it wants to do to describe for the record and for members of the public present, which we don't have it yet at this point, but if we do. For their benefit and to inform any testimony that they might give later on in the testimony portion of today's hearing, if we have one. The city makes that presentation, and that usually includes a recommendation based on the city review as to whether the city staff believes the requirements for a street vacation have been met. And all that informs me, and that informs my recommendation. Mr. Stevens, I'm presuming that it's just you today, no other city witnesses?
That's correct, Mr. Examiner.
Okay. And either side, well, both sides can make an opening statement before you give testimony if you wish to do so. If you do, let me know, and I'll swear you in once your formal statement is done. But if we're just going to go straight into talking about the street vacation and why it should be approved, etc., then I'll just swear you in and begin. The petitioner may cross-examine the city witness if it wishes to do so. Cross-examination is not the time to make statements in disagreement or agreement or whatever with things the city has said. It's the time for questions regarding things that particular witness has just testified to. So if you have clarification questions, if you have other legitimate questions, that's the time to ask. So it's time for questions. And if you're not asking questions, I'll usually redirect you towards doing that during cross-examination. Cross-examination doesn't have to be done. Any of these segments I'm describing can be waived if there's no need for them, and that's the party's call to me. So possible opening statement, Mr. Stevens is going to testify. Mr. Gemperline, you can cross-examine him if you choose to do so. If there are things that come up during cross-examination that Mr. Stevens feels like he needs to add some additional direct testimony on, and again, it would be limited to what's come up in cross-examination, he may do so. And then we will move to presentation of the petitioner's case or presentation. Same as with the city witness, you can testify after being sworn in. Mr. Stevens could cross-examine you if he chooses to do so. And then it could be redirect testimony. Mr. Gemperline, I'm presuming, I guess, at this point that you're the only representative from the petitioner that's going to be here today. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
The petitioner bears the burden of proof in this proceeding to show by a preponderance of the evidence that the requirements for the street vacation have been met in order for it to go forward. The petitioner is perfectly entitled to rely on all evidence that's submitted and made part of the record, and usually the majority of that comes from the city based on its review. So there's no need for the petitioner to restate things that have already been presented by the city to the extent that the petitioner is not in disagreement with those. Once the petitioner is done making its presentation, and I say it because it's a business entity that's the actual petitioner, so no offense there, Mr. Gemperline. I'm not mushing pronouns or anything like that, although if you think I'm using wrong pronouns in any situation, please feel free to correct me. I'm happy to use people's preferred pronouns for whatever. But I don't know. I guess it's my English ancestry that makes me want to call business corporations its. American usage is sometimes different on that, but it's a business entity. It seems like it to me. Anyway, once the petitioner is done making its presentation, that would be the time at which we would move into the public testimony portion of the hearing. Interested parties in a hearing such as this one are allowed the opportunity to speak on the proposed action, in this case the street vacation. And I'm looking at our participation list still. We don't have anybody besides my staff and the two party representatives. So we may not have any of that. I will note for the record that there's been at least one or two written comments that we received by interested parties who I think said they were unable to attend the hearing. Those are in the record and will be reviewed and considered on the way to making that recommendation. But if we don't have any members of the public here, when we get to the public testimony portion of today's hearing, we'll just move on past that. And both sides are allowed rebuttal testimony if they choose to do so, but that's usually to address things that come up in public testimony portion of the hearing. And so if we don't have that, my guess is there won't be any need for rebuttal. The parties can tell me if they think I'm wrong on that. When we get to that point, and if all my assumptions at this point continue to hold true. So, any questions from the parties about how we're going to proceed at this point? Anything from the city?
No, Mr. Examiner.
Anything from you, Mr. Gepper?
Nope.
Okay. I will note that prior to today's hearing, I've already mentioned the preliminary report, and that was accompanied by a number of other proposed city exhibits. Those have been marked at this point now as exhibits C1, C for city, through C16. Mr. Gemperline, I presume the city sent you a copy of those proposed exhibits as well. Is that correct?
Yes, they have.
Do you have any objection to those exhibits coming in and being made part of the record prior to getting underway with presentation cases?
I do not.
All right, Mr. Stevenson, I presume you have a motion for me?
Yes, Mr. Examiner, I ask that you accept exhibits C1 through C16 into the record.
All right, and there's no objection from the petitioner to those exhibits coming in and being made part of the record. I will admit them formally part of the record. Either side can freely refer to those exhibits now as part of your presentations. And if there are no questions, then we will go ahead and move into presentation. Mr. Stevens, you already know this, I suppose, but I will note that everything that has just been admitted, made part of the record, is indeed admitted and made part of the record, and doesn't need to be read in to be part of the compendium of what I consider on the way to making my recommendation to the council, and it will be part of everything that gets submitted to the council, so it will have the council will have access to all of that as well. Doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, an audio video record separately somehow. And I will note still at this point, 9:13 a.m., that there appears to be no members of the public here who would benefit, I suppose, by being verbally informed of what's in the written record. So with that said, I'll still leave it up to you for how you make your presentation, but I presume you know what I'm leaning at with that. If we,
yes, Mr. Examiner.
Save some time, I suppose. So, Mr. Stevens, you have a separately prepared opening statement, or should I just swear you in?
You should just swear me in, Mr. Examiner.
If you would raise your right hand on the screen, please. You swear to affirm the testimony you're about to give as part of this proceeding today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Mr. Examiner, we have no additional facts or information to present today, and only the persons or parties in attendance are parties to this matter. The petitioner was served a copy of the preliminary report via email on March 11, 2022. With your permission, the city asked to forgo making a presentation today. I am happy to answer any questions you may have. You've already given me that permission, but I have.
Let me just ask, in looking at the legal descriptions,
yes.
We've got vertical call out. Of areas between 177 feet and 272 feet. And 210, 272, then we go to the other section. We're talking 204, 272, 220, 272 again. What's the reference point from that? Are we taking that from street grade?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Examiner. The reason for those call-outs that you've just mentioned is to maintain a minimum vertical of 20 feet or above, and 15th, South 15th is very steep, and so that's why there's the difference. And it's, again, to maintain that 20 feet of public right-of-way, and then above is what Mr. Gabardine's LLC is going to be purchasing, both on Fawcett and on South 15th Street.
Well, I saw the comment from, I think it was Public Works Traffic Engineering, about making sure that there was 20 feet above. But,
yeah. So, Mr. Examiner, originally the proposed vacation was, I believe, 16.5 feet and above. And it was determined that that wasn't sufficient, and the petitioner modified the legal description to change it to 20 feet and above. And once that happened, then everyone was on board and fine with that.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just not squaring it, and maybe you don't know either, because as far as I know, you're not a licensed surveyor, and neither am I.
This, yeah.
We both have had lots of experience, I suppose, with legal descriptions, even though we're not surveyors. But that's why I was just wondering, these vertical callouts being, you know, 200 plus feet, if it's really indeed that high above street grade, the sidewalks in and around this area that we're talking about, or if it's really down just more in the range of 20 feet above the existing sidewalk or street grade.
It's 20 feet above, Mr. Examiner, and those call-outs are a surveyor reference to determine that. And these legal descriptions, we've been seeing this more in the last few years, the first 10 or 12 years or so that I worked these street vacations, those call-outs weren't as prominent, but the surveyors have really been dialing these verticals in to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Well, there's got to be a different reference point then, other than street grade, because if it's really only 20 feet above existing street grade, you know, these callouts are 10 times that. So
I'm trying to think. I don't know what the term is, and maybe Mr. Gabardine does, but I think it's not a call-out from grade. So I get what you're saying. You just want to make sure that we're not talking about 200 feet in the air. It's from grade.
Well, if we are, I don't care. I mean, that's fine too, because there's even less chance that, you know, an overhang 200 plus feet in the air is going to have some effect on the city's continued right-of-way use of the remaining right-of-way interest sans the air rights that are proposed for vacations. So what you're saying then, though, is that the proposed potential protrusions up in the air over the existing right-of-way are really going to be more like at an elevation of 20 feet above existing grade.
That's correct, Mr. Examiner.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that, because I read through this, you know, initially, kind of going linearly through the city's exhibits, and saw these vertical call outs, and I thought, well, okay, that's, you know, really high up there if we're talking from street grade. But then I saw the comments from Public Works, and I thought, okay, something's not square for me here.
Right.
And it still doesn't, I guess, because I don't know why these call outs are at 200 plus feet when they're really talking about 20 feet.
Well, and Mr. Examiner, you bring up a good question, and in the future, I'll have that answer for you. I will ask survey what that distance is measured from, so that in the future I can answer that question for you.
Well, yeah, I believe it's off the median sea level. So most surveyors have to pick a neutral level that they survey against, so that when you're picking a spot elevation, all surveyors have the same starting spot. So the plus 200 is really from, it's either mean or median sea level of the area, and then every other surveyor who would come and survey this would be able to pick the same starting spot and get to the same elevation.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, the city should have established street grades too that all surveyors could refer to and use as well. But whatever the case, and Mr. Gepperle, I thank you for that additional explanation. That helps square for my strange mind. And Mr. Stevens, I think that's, well, okay, let me just, one additional question for you, petitioner. It appears that other than paying compensation on this one, there aren't any other conditions that the city's recommending?
That's correct, and yes, we are recommending.
Okay, and that not surprising necessarily, given the vacation of air rights in the city, you know, unless it's making aerial walkways or things like that. Doesn't really get involved in using as far as I understand.
Well, and this is a very small area. It's 3 feet, right? Three feet wide, so it's not a huge area.
Yeah. All right. right. Well, I don't think I have any additional questions. Mr. Gemperli, do you have cross-examination questions for Mr. Stevens based on what he's testified to, both of his own accord and in response to my question?
I do not.
All right. Well, no cross, no redirect. And I assume then that the sitting rests. Is that correct, Mr. Stevens?
I do, Mr. Examiner. Thank you.
All right. So moving then to the petitioner, Mr. Gemperli, as I explained at the outset, you can make a formal opening statement if you want. You can testify also. If you don't know where the line between those two gets set, we can just swear you in. And again, as I pointed out, the petitioner is entitled to rely on all the evidence in the record, whether presented by the city or by the petitioner.
I do not need an opening statement.
A lot of what the city does is based on what the petitioner is submitting. All right, so if you would raise your right hand, please. You swear in firm the testimony you're about to give as part of this proceeding today will be the truth of all truths and nothing but the truth.
I do.
All right, so go ahead and tell me what you want me to know in regard to this petition from the petitioner's side.
Outside of what's been shown in the exhibits, the only other thing we'd say is that we think balconies are a critical portion to include as part of the urban landscape and really break up the facade modulation of buildings and provide a much better urban fabric for the city. Everything else that we are making a case on is in the exhibits, and we feel pretty strongly that it speaks for itself.
Okay. Well, let me just ask you one question, then give you a chance to maybe address this on the record. I'll preface it by stating that I'm very aware of how Washington law deals with view rights. I'll just put that out there, as a precursor to asking the question. I know one of the written comments that's come in has been concerned about these potential outcroppings or balconies or whatever they're going to end up being in the design, which will have to be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Development Services ultimately. Nothing gets approved as part. Nothing for your design gets approved as part of this process. It's just whether that right of way interest in the city still exists or doesn't exist. But one of the people is concerned about their view being interfered with by what might potentially get built if this street vacation here rises through. Is there anything in that regard that the petitioner would like to address or be on the record in regard to? And you don't have to, I guess, but I'm just giving the opportunity to see if you have anything to add on that regard, on that front, because it's been expressed as a concern.
So I would assume that they're concerned about the view down Fawcett Avenue, not along 15th, or along 15th, not along Fawcett. And I would just say that from a view perspective, the only portion of these balconies that would be any obstruction would just be the balcony itself, which is a very thin piece of metal. The railings are going to be see-through, so that won't obstruct any views. So while I understand the concern, I don't feel that we are going to negatively impact views along that street.
Thank you for that. Anything else that you wish to add from the petitioner?
Nope.
All right. Mr. Stevens, you have cross-examination questions?
I don't, Mr. Examiner. Thank you for asking.
All right. Got to make sure. So I'm looking at our participant list again, and there's myself and my staff, and there's Mr. Stevens and Mr. Gemperli. So there are no members of the public here at this point, even though this has been noticed, and anybody who wished to do so could join us here. There isn't any. And it is now 9:26, so we're 26 minutes past the appointed hour to have begun this proceeding. So I am going to dispense with the public testimony portion, since there is no one to occupy that portion of the proceeding today. I am assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that without public testimony today, the city is not finding anything to rebut at this point. Is that a fair assumption on my part?
That's correct, Mr. Examiner.
Is that also correct from the petitioner's side?
That is correct.
All right, so, Mr. Stevens, does the city wish to make a closing statement?
No, thank you, Mr. Examiner.
All right, well, we might be done in a half an hour then. Mr. Kemperlein, petitioner wishing to make a closing statement?
No, thank you.
All right, then. Are there procedural other questions for me before we conclude and go off the record today? Anything from the city?
Mr. Examiner, would you, for the benefit of the petitioner, would you mind letting us know how soon your report will be sent out?
Well, there's a real good chance sooner, but I always say, you know, within 2 weeks, 10 business days. There's a real good chance that this one might be issued sooner than that. So, you know,
excellent.
Cross your fingers and hope, I guess. Are we under some urgency with this? Or
no, I just thought Luke would want to know, Mr. Gabbard.
Well, yeah, you know, if you hadn't asked the question, I usually throw that in at the end. So, you know, at this point, I take the matter under advisement, and I review the record again, and I write the recommendation, and that gets issued, and then it gets scheduled for council's consideration. You know, if my recommendation were to take 2 weeks, and it's usually another 2 weeks for it to be scheduled and be in front of council, my guess is I'm not going to take the whole 2 weeks. So that might speed up that time, too. Mr. Stevens, before I let you off the hook, well, wait a second, never mind, because that question got answered. If you were to confirm that with the city's, well, actually, you know, let me just ask this question before we're done. Who produced the legal descriptions here? Is that petitioner or was that city surveyor?
The petitioner provided the legal descriptions, but city survey has reviewed and accepted those survey or those.
Okay.
Those, yes.
All right. So I'm going to presume then that the city surveyor knew that those call outs were based on a sea level median as opposed to.
Okay. Perfect.
And I'm going to just let that one go then. Mr. Gemperlein, anything from you? Any other questions or procedural matters that you think need to be addressed before we close?
Not at this time, thank you.
All right, well, I will thank the parties for your very succinct presentations today and for answering my questions. And if there's nothing else, we will be adjourned at exactly 9:30 look for the recommendation to issue in your email boxes sometime. Oh, Mr. Jeff, I don't know that we've got an email address for you. Do you have an email address that you'd like the recommendation sent to?
Yes, please. Luke, Luke, at onetrent.com, onetrent.com.
All one word, no caps?
All one word, no caps.
Okay, so I've got Luke at onetrent.com.
That is correct.
Right. Well, we will send it there. Again, thank you for your presentations today. I wish you both a good rest of your day. With that, we'll be concluded and off the record.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you, guys.